Decision Wisconsin coverage continues. This is overnight coverage of a 2024 presidential election. Now, here to bring you through the entire evening, here's your host, Steve Scafidi.
All right, welcome. I'm just getting warmed up. I got 5 hours ahead of me. We're going to talk about a lot of politics. I just got to say, John McCure's sticking around for a little bit of transition here. And I listened to a bunch of what you did with the crew here. And one, we got great teammates and with a lot of great commentary on what was going on. I guess for me, I'll start with this, John. You've now watched this you did your regular show. You had a little bit of break and then you jumped out for three more hours. I think so.
Yeah.
Takeaways. This is, I think, for some people, rather surprising. Again, we don't know everything yet, and we have races and votes to count. But there seems to be some trends that I've noticed, and I wrote a bunch of stuff down. I'm not going to bore you with all the details right now. But young voters, black voters, young men, Latino voters, young men, Donald Trump. I didn't see that one coming.
I'm surprised. You know, let's just talk about some of the biggest cities in America. In cities like Atlanta specifically, Philadelphia specifically, Kamala Harris is underperforming what Joe Biden performed. In Milwaukee alone, Joe Biden won 69% of the vote in 2020. Kamala Harris right now, and all of the numbers aren't in, but right now she's winning 66% of the vote. If you take that percentage in every swing state, that's not good enough to win. So there's 104,000 absentee ballots which have not been entered in yet in Milwaukee County. 58% of the vote is in. If you take 100,000 ballots and she wins 66% of that, you start to run into a numbers problem. And I'm not saying it's over. It's not over. But every 15 minutes, literally, when I was doing the last couple of hours and we were updating things, the Trump margin grew and the Hovde margin grew. It grew. You know, a lot of these elections, you've done election nights.
Oh, yeah.
It kind of goes back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
Like 1 hour, somebody gained, somebody. It has been consistent. As the numbers have grown, Donald Trump's lead has grown, and now he's winning by almost exactly 100,000 votes.
Yeah, with about, 77% of the votes counted. And one of the things I've noticed as well is these trends are sort of happening across the country in all the states, not just this state, other states, where those places where you call the big blue wall, you know, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, where Harris thought she could have that last hope. It seems like that's breaking down now.
It does seem like it's breaking down. And it gets to the point now where you just at some point run out of there being enough votes. Because not only is there still votes that need to come in Milwaukee, okay, so there's still, 40% that needs to come in?
Yeah.
But if you look at all the other counties, they also, some of them, have a lot of votes still to come in. Now, they don't have the gross number of votes if you're in the northwest part of the state. But if you look at 10 counties that still have votes to come in, and he's at 100,000 vote lead, and she's got Milwaukee left and Dane County. I mean, Dane County's at 91% now. So there are not a lot of votes left in Dane County.
I think for me, and as somebody who's talked about this election, got it for 2 years probably, and you as well, the surprising thing is the staying power of Donald Trump. When I started on radio, was right after he won the surprise win over Hillary Clinton. Some people weren't surprised. In 2016, basically I covered that entire four-year run. And the Biden administration, which crashed and burned at the end, at a debate that Biden asked for, threw him out of the race. I guess for me, the one thing that I haven't heard enough people talk about is when you thrust a candidate into the race in basically July?
Yep.
Who was a vice president but wasn't running for president. The candidates who's actively went through the primaries is yanked away, his decision, he said, although there's some questions about that.
Right.
It's almost unprecedented that you would think that candidate with 4 months would be able to defeat someone with the staying power and the voting base of Donald Trump. I guess that, for me, is the message of this race. She was not ready for this race in 4 months to take on Donald Trump.
I think she made mistakes down the stretch. I think you know who Van Jones is. He's a guy in CNN. I respect him. He's a Democrat. Don't agree with a lot, but I respect him. He said today that he thinks this was before any of the votes were counted. He said, I have a fear that we made a major mistake down the stretch, that we were too consumed with Lady Gaga, Beyonce, and Oprah, and instead we didn't hold the rallies in the places they needed to be held. And our closing argument, this is him talking, Our closing argument was, how many celebrities and concerts can we put on, and how many people that are famous can raise Kamala's hand on stage? And you know what? In places like Georgia and Pennsylvania, he's talking, it doesn't resonate with people who are Democrat but who are blue collar, who could never afford to go to one of those concerts, who don't really ever watch Oprah, don't buy her magazine because they can't afford it. And that's how she chose to litigate her closing argument, was with the celebrity and the endorsement culture. And not only did it not motivate people to vote, but this is him, a Democrat, saying this. I fear that it turned people off who are blue-collar Democrats and can't relate to that.
I agree completely. You know, how long have you heard people say this? I hate Hollywood. I don't want to hear about it. I don't want to know about it. It's obviously, there's exceptions. Taylor Swift, universally loved, all that. But most people, they've had enough of that. We've seen all the scandals of Hollywood. We've seen people who are supposed to be like these icons who've misbehaved badly, treated people badly, and then you hold them up as somehow the representative that's going to take you over the top in this race. And I think it was a horrible miscalculation. I agree with Van Jones. Dumb. You have to speak to a message that resonates when people are worried, as my friend Bill McCutcheon always says, gas and groceries. That's what people are talking about.
Yep.
Who doesn't drive by a gas station and see what the price is? Everybody. You got to talk about that stuff. When you pay your bill at the grocery store, it's like, damn, that's $200-some.
And I think that the abortion issue ran out of gas, too.
I think too.
The polling will show that it was still important, but it was not as important. If this presidential election was held 8 months ago, that issue is more important. And instead, that was the focus, reproductive health, reproductive rights. When people can't afford to pay their bills and they still want to know, how much is the Fed going to drop that rate? Because I need to refinance my house. I can't afford this anymore. I need to buy a new car, and the interest rate's so high that I don't know that I can do that.
When do you think, this is just speculation, when do you think we will know when this thing's over? I say probably not till in the morning.
Yeah, I would say in the next, I agree with you.
Because you still have to close out the states.
Yeah, I think in the next 12 hours, though. Yeah. I think we will know. We're going to know before
I don't think
tomorrow.
It's going to be a Saturday like last time.
Maybe what you're still on? I don't know. Probably after that. My guess is sometime tomorrow, right? That's what it seems. That's what we're marching toward.
Can I get you for one more quick segment?
Yeah,
I want to ask you about this snafu with the tabulators at the Central Con. We'll ask our guy, John McCure, who's done an incredible job on Decision Wisconsin. I'm Steve Scavini. I'll be with you till 5 a.m. And, of course, Eric and Vince will take you through the morning. And then I'll be back for a two-hour special, which I'm also excited
about. That's incredible.
About. Yeah. I got so much energy right now. I've had too much coffee, John. I'll tell you that right now. John McCure, Steve Scavini, Decision Wisconsin, right here on 620 WTMJ. Decision Wisconsin, Steve Scavini. I got a lot of time tonight. We're going to talk about all aspects of the state races, all the assembly and Senate races. We'll get to all of that. James Wiggins is going to join me in a second, conservative writer. We got Joseph Heckey will be in here. We got all of our great teammates that are all over the place. We'll talk to Greg Matzik, wrapped around the bottom of the hour. John McCure sticking around for a few more minutes. I'm going to let him get home because he's got to get some rest after a long day's work.
I love today, though. This is the day.
This is the day, right?
Yep.
You know, my show is a political power hour, so I'm going to live this stuff.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about the snafu, as they're calling it, with the tabulator machines at Central County, Milwaukee. I said this to somebody on social media when they're asking me about it. This is something that cannot happen. I understand people can make mistakes, and that's why you have observers. But in a race and an election that has these many eyes on it, especially after all the things we went through in 2020, this can't happen.
It's embarrassing.
It is.
They're talking about it on all the national networks. I was watching CNN, and they had video of a door ajar on a voting machine. So 13 voting machines, the doors weren't closed properly and sealed. Why do we put these people through training? Here's what I'll take away from it, though. I was relieved to see that almost immediately Republicans, Scott Fitzgerald and others, said, look, we're satisfied with how this has been resolved. We all came together, Republicans and Democrats. So almost immediately, Republicans took that away as a wedge issue or as a way to say, look, we are cheated and point to Milwaukee County. Look. So that was a relief. I'm glad that happened that way. But how did this happen, Steve?
This is a stain on the city.
It is. It's embarrassing.
And I think her name is Pauline Gutierrez.
It is. Yeah, Paulina. I mean,
That is going to have to be looked at. And, you know, thankfully they've got it figured out. And we'll get the results here in a second. But I guess my bigger question here is, as we approach the end of this cycle, appears right now, if you look at the numbers, Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. He was 45. He'll be 47. Right now, Hovde has a pretty substantial lead over Tammy Baldwin, which is, again, also surprising, given she's a two-term U.S. senator. It doesn't appear that lead will go away. It might get closer, obviously.
Yeah, 60,000. It just updated. Yeah. He's up by 60,000 now, 79% in.
So I'm not saying Tammy Baldwin can't come back on it. I mean, we've seen crazier things happen in races. But it is somewhat surprising that in almost every election that I was watching all night, Donald Trump, Republicans, outperformed everybody in almost all these races. A few exceptions. Carrie Lake went down in out west.
Yeah, she got smacked down.
Yeah, which is, you know, again, some people like her. I can't stand her. That's my opinion.
But, yeah. I mean, so, they don't like her there very much either, because Donald Trump is going to win that state and Carrie Lake's going to get beat.
Yeah, which is
so
sort
they
of
split
a,
out there.
A good indication that she's not very popular. When you look at this race from all the perspectives that we're going to look at it, I think for me, it's just we often underestimate the power of Donald Trump. And I talked to somebody. I have friends, family, neighbors that love Donald Trump, and they have no hesitation voting for him. I am not a fan. I've said it over the years that I've worked on this station. I never voted for him, and I probably never will. I think that it's one of those things that still surprises me. Given what he does on stage at his rallies, given what he says at press conferences, given how he acts sometimes, but there's something that resonates with him that people love.
There sure is. And you know what? I'll throw into that mix. It really surprises me. I was recently at the George W. Bush Presidential Library. You know, after 9/11, he wanted to be a domestic president. Remember, then 9/11 happened and he had to become a foreign policy president. He still then went to work hard, No Child Left Behind, and a lot of domestic policies. And he worked with Democratic leadership to get all that stuff done. Ted Kennedy and others. George W. Bush has not voted for Donald Trump any of the three times, just like you. Yeah. Mitt Romney, the last nominee before Donald Trump, won't. His own vice president won't vote for Donald Trump. And most of the people who served with him in his cabinet and military positions will not vote for him. And despite all of that, the power of Donald Trump to win over the average voter in the Northwoods of Wisconsin and in the rural areas of places like Georgia and Pennsylvania is stunning. And I don't quite understand it. It's a fascinating case study. The defections he has from traditional Republicans and those that he brings into the fold from other areas, it's remarkable.
I said there's a ceiling on Donald Trump, but apparently I'm wrong. There's no ceiling on Donald Trump.
It's remarkable.
Hey, we're going to go to Adam Roberts. He's at the Orpheum Theater. He's got an update and apparently had a conversation with the Attorney General, Josh Call. Adam Roberts, you're up.
All right, Steve. Hey, John. Hey to you as well. Yeah, as we watch things continue here in Dane County, the vote 92% in. Baldwin has had a very massive lead. 75% of the Dane County vote now. Yeah, that's right. I had the Attorney General Josh Call here just a few minutes ago. We talked in the hallway. He's the basically only surrogate we've seen so far at the Orpheum tonight. I asked him if he has had any contact with Senator Baldwin, who has yet to make an appearance tonight here as well.
Have you been in contact with Senator Baldwin tonight?
Not directly. I've been following the results, obviously, and a lot of her team is here. You know, she seems to be in pretty good shape. She's run an outstanding campaign, and I think more importantly, has been a phenomenal senator. So I think that we're going to see that reflected in the results in this race. But again, we're going to watch the results as they come in and make sure that every vote is counted.
Cautious optimism, and again, very few actual surrogates tonight. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez has come onto the stage twice, the last appearance probably about 25 minutes to a half hour ago. So the crowd that was on the floor, they have long gone. It is a wide open floor right now, and everyone that I've talked to is seemingly just trying to ride it out. They know it's going to be a late night. AG Call also said, as when I told him, hey, because of Milwaukee County, we could be here 2, 3 in the morning. Are you prepared for that kind of long night? The bars close at 2. You seem to be all right with it.
Well, Adam, you know, I've been to a few of those loser parties. I can remember the last one was Michael's for governor. And it does shut down very quickly when the news becomes, something you can't overcome. And then, of course, there's always that statement of concession. It'll be interesting to see, because we have obviously that Milwaukee County is – when was the, John, you were talking about this. When was the hour that we were told this might eventually show up? 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
2, 3 o'clock in the morning.
Which
you
is great for
that's
me, because I'll be live on the radio.
It could be right in there. By the way, new numbers coming in, Steve. 80% of the vote now in, and Donald Trump has increased his lead on Kamala Harris. He's now up by 105,000 votes. And in the race for Senate, same, 81% now in that race. And that's, let's see, 65,000 almost that Hovde's opened up his lead on Baldwin.
Absolutely incredible performance by Republican candidates in the state of Wisconsin. Adam, we're going to let you go. You got anything else?
I will say I was covering Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes's run for Senate in 2022. They never gave any notice on that evening for us to go home because they weren't going to have him on stage. I'm hopeful at some point if they do ultimately decide, hey, we're going to just continue things tomorrow or maybe later this week. I hope they give some warning because otherwise I could be getting some road time in.
Adam Roberts, Orpheum Theater with the candidates party or not party. Tammy Baldwin. Thanks for joining us, Adam.
Not much of a party.
We'll check in if we have a comment from the candidate. John, we're going to cut you loose. You've
right.
done enough.
Good. I'm going to go home. I'm going to listen to you on my way home. I'm going to stay up till 3 o'clock in bed listening to you and get a nap and come back.
You are a warrior, my friend.
No, you are.
Yeah. You are. No, you are. All right. Lots more to get
have
to.
Have fun tonight. You're here. You might be here when this thing ends.
I am looking forward to it. I've been excited about this night and this day for a long time. Hey, if you don't get enough of me tonight till 5, I'll be back from 9 to 11 with a special 2-hour edition. So I am ready to talk. Also, before I go to break, I'm welcoming text comments on the WTMJ Talking Text Line. I'd love to hear what you're all thinking out there because I don't typically get to do that on my show, so I'm going to open it up. You know what you got to do, right? Text line, 855-616-1620. Quick break on Decision Wisconsin, the late night edition with Steve Scafidi. More after this. Decision Wisconsin, late night. Steve Scafidi, your host for the next 4.5 hours. Thanks for tuning in. If you don't get enough of me, as I said earlier tonight, so I'll be back 9 to 11 with an expanded edition of Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. Well, welcoming in one of my special guests tonight, James Waiterson. You hear him almost every Tuesday on the program. A great, great conservative writer, has been writing about politics in Wisconsin for a long time. Glad to have you on board, James.
Thanks, Steve.
Let's get your mic on there. You got to hit the on button there, James.
There we go.
Okay.
Technology gets me every time.
Every time. So I know you've been watching all this stuff. I spent a lot of hours this evening watching at home before I got in here today. I'll start with the obvious. I'm a little shocked at how well Donald Trump has performed, how well some Republican candidates have performed, including Eric Hovde. What's your takeaway?
Yeah, I mean, it is rather surprising. I would have thought that this being the first presidential election after the Dobbs decision, that you would have had much more of a turnout by women that would have voted Democratic. That doesn't seem to be the case. They're not coming to the rescue this time. It's going to be very close in a couple of cases. We're looking, though, at Minnesota, a state that should be easily in the hands of the Democrats, and that's still too close to call. I mean, it's got to be a frustrating night if you're a Democrat, or if you're a never Trump Republican. It's got to be a frustrating night, and it's going to be interesting to see where we go from here. Even if Harris pulls it out, it's somehow it does send a message that the Trumpified Republican Party is here to stay.
Yeah, that's sort of my takeaway as well. I said to John earlier, John McCure, who stuck around for a couple segments after his 3-hour show, that we underestimate him. And John, I think, made a great point. You know, when you think that he's losing votes, maybe those Nikki Haley votes, that they're taken away from him, he replaces them with young black voters, men specifically, young Latino men voters. Somebody on one of the programs I was watching said the Joe Rogan bros are now part of that coalition. So whenever you think, oh, he's going to lose, he surprises you by adding something new to his coalition. I'm perpetually surprised by Donald Trump.
Though I would point out that this would be normally a very good year for Republicans. You had the economy as the number one issue. The Republicans were favored on that issue all the way through. It just seemed like the Democrats never really got a handle on that issue. And unfortunately for them, inflation only works in one way. Prices only go up under inflation. They don't go back down. People are still feeling the effects of inflation, even though inflation has calmed down in this country. They're still seeing the higher prices and the smaller Oreo cookies and things like that. And it has an effect on people, and they're many people are voting their pocketbooks this election as well.
Bill McCosian said this, and I've talked to Eric Hovde on the show, and they always say gas and groceries in Wisconsin. And that, hey, I was just saying earlier, I drive by a gas station, I always look to see what the price is. Even when it's low or high, I still pay attention. So, and my wife always tells me, do you see what the grocery bill was? So these are things that people care about. And I, you know, the fact that Kamala Harris, John made this point, spent so much time courting celebrities at the end. There wasn't a celebrity that wasn't offered to a radio show or a radio show host that wouldn't step up and say something great about Kamala Harris. But how does that help you get votes?
Well, I think what it would do normally is it would try to give you permission to vote for a candidate. You see this candidate is cool and is friendly with somebody, and this is now a candidate that you would want to hang out with. Unfortunately for Kamala Harris, she is not that type of candidate. She doesn't have that cool, that effect. Hillary Clinton did the same thing in 2016. She was hanging out with all the rock stars and everything else, and in the end, it didn't help her either. You can get away with that if you're Bill Clinton. You can get away with that if you're Barack Obama, where you already have that cool effect working for you, and those are the people that you want to hang out with anyhow. But neither of those two candidates, Harris or Hillary Clinton, they just rub people the wrong way, and they're not the type that you're going to just want to hang around with and see movie stars with.
Do you think the fact that this race, which went from Joe Biden going through the primaries, being the candidates, horrific decision, although it did shine a light on the fact that he wasn't ready for prime time, to have a debate with Donald Trump where he just was feeble and couldn't get the words out of his mouth, replaced quickly by Kamala Harris, a move which I'm going to point out in a second here, maybe that decision to just green light her and not open it up, is that one of the factors that maybe led to this? It's just she couldn't mount a successful campaign in, 4 months?
Well, that is a factor, is that it was a four-month campaign for her. She never had the time to run a proper campaign to introduce herself to the United States. Americans like to get to know their candidates better. It was always a question of, well, what does Kamala Harris believe in, right? How many times did we hear that in the last couple of months? Well, the reason is because she didn't have a long campaign to introduce herself and to reintroduce herself after the last disastrous presidential campaign that she ran. We certainly would have been, the Democrats certainly would have been a lot better off had Joe Biden dropped out of the race much earlier than he did, and that the Democrats would have had an opportunity to test their candidate in a primary system. Maybe Harris still would have gotten the nomination. Maybe she wouldn't. Maybe we would be talking about Governor Josh Shapiro right now.
We'll get to that decision at some point tonight, because that decision, look how Minnesota's still in play. That's very telling. And, of course, you have to win. If you're Kamala Harris, you have to win Pennsylvania. I think would have been made easier by picking Josh Shapiro. We're going to take a break. After break, Greg Matzik's going to jump in. He is going to be a good party out there, looks like, at the Ingleside Hotel, the Donald Trump Republican Party Wisconsin celebratory event, I'm guessing. We'll talk to Greg, and we're expecting Joseph Heckey to join us shortly. James Wigerson, conservative writer, yours truly, Steve Scafidi, the Political Power Hour. We're just getting warmed up on this five-hour edition of Decision Wisconsin Late Nights. Decision Wisconsin Late Nights, 620 WTMJ, Steve Scafidi, the Political Power Hour. James Wigerson alongside. We're waiting for Joseph Heckey to join us. Joe probably not feeling good today, because he's been very vocal about how strong the Harris campaign was doing. And at this moment, again, lots can happen. Nothing's guaranteed. Right now, if you're just curious where we stand, for the call races, Donald Trump has 230 votes and electoral votes, and Kamala Harris has 210. Basically, what's left is all the swing states. And some of them aren't that close, and sort of the, I guess I'll make an exception. Minnesota's still at play with, by the way, the vice presidential candidate, Tim Walz, on the ticket. That's not a good sign by any stretch of the imagination.
No, Minnesota is normally a safe Democratic seat. It was the only state that actually voted against Ronald Reagan in 1984.
Yeah.
Just throw you back a few years. And it's the home of a very strong Democratic Party, progressive Democrats. Tim Walz is certainly within the mainstream of that. But it does show you that the vice presidential candidate doesn't have much of an effect beyond bolstering the presidential candidate. And we're certainly not seeing that Waltz is having coattails in his own state.
Yeah, let's check on the Wisconsin race. Right now, Donald Trump with about 82% reporting. Donald Trump at 51%. Kamala Harris at 47%. Greg Matzik is at the Ingleside Hotel in beautiful Pewaukee, Republican Party of Wisconsin. Their big bash. Hey, Greg.
Hey, Steve. People still hanging out here. You're right. There's still a bunch of people hanging out, drinking beers.
I would think
wine,
so.
Watching the Fox News coverage. They got two giant projector screens up here, one to the left and one to the right of a central stage. That's about 3 feet off the ground with a big pipe and drape, black banner, state of Wisconsin flag, United States of America flag, big Trump Vance sign, and a lot of people wearing red and sensing some victories as the states keep coming in. They keep showing up numbers here on Fox News. A lot of too early to call states, however. That includes Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Arizona, Georgia, and Nevada. So it's still plenty of votes to be had out there.
So obviously Donald Trump's not going to be at that party. So who's going to be the big speaker that sort of energizes the room for one last time tonight or early in the morning when they say, hey, we just hit that number, we win?
The nice part is the Ingleside is a hotel, so if somebody needs to catch a nap for a couple of hours,
yes,
they could probably just walk
it's
back
a nice
over
hotel.
And, you know, you grab the mic and go. But, you know, we've seen a kind of a mixture of folks take the stage. Senator Ron Johnson just got off the stage about 5 minutes ago. Prior to him, we had Tommy Thompson really energizing the crowd. That was more in about the 9 o'clock hour. Former Governor Scott Walker is walking around here as well. So, yeah, we'll see how it goes on throughout the evening. But I will say this, it's still a pretty sizable crowd here hanging out. Not as full as it was, but it's still a pretty good crowd hanging out watching the coverage.
Greg Matzik at the Ingleside Hotel. We'll probably check back with you one more time. Greg Matzik covering the Donald Trump party. Julia Fellow. Where's Julia Fellow at tonight? Is she available? Let's talk to her. There she is, Julia Fellow.
Hey there. I'm at the Harris Walls campaign watch party. At the stage is coming down, actually. Lots of worried faces. I'm at the Milwaukee County Zoo's Peck Center.
Yes,
this is the Democratic Party of Wisconsin's big watch party that has now turned into sadness. There's not any
I'm guessing that's not the best party to be at tonight. So as you are watching this thing unfold with the crowd there, Julia, how soon in the evening or how late in the evening did they realize things were not going their way?
I'd say probably about 90 minutes ago, and especially when they saw just on the big screen that Georgia is now projected to go to former President Donald Trump. That was a really, really big, it was not good. They said that was the big, you know, it was going to be the barometer of how the whole night was going to be set. And now that they saw that, it's not good. And people audibly gasped when they saw Minnesota's not called still. Confused, scratching their heads that could spell trouble, because Minnesota easily turns blue, and even the re-election for Ronald Reagan, okay, every state was red except for Minnesota.
Yeah.
So we also spoke to someone who is a correspondent in Minnesota, and he said that there has been a lot of not so great things that people have been saying about Walls in that state, especially with the COVID situation, and 50,000 people moved out. It looks like people are talking right now on the stage with Kamala Harris's campaign. I'm not sure who that is, but they're speaking at Howard University. It's just not happy here.
Yeah, Julia, we'll let you go so you can capture some of that, but I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to us. Julia Fellow covering the not-fun party there with the Harris campaign. Let's take some of that live. Oh, we'll get it when we have it. James, that's never a fun place to be. When you're at a party that you realize your candidate's probably not going to win.
No, I've been on both sides of it. I've sat
too.
There with a bunch of state assembly staffers as they're all figuring out who was going to lose their jobs that next day. That's not a fun place to be. My advice always is eat the snacks early, because you never know how quickly they're going to take them away and not serve any later.
They do shut down fast. I was at the Michaels concession party, and that shut down really quickly.
Yeah, when you discover that it's going to be a long night, they take the food away. So, no, it's not a fun evening. On the other hand, there's no better place to be when you think your candidate is going to win. And everybody is on top of the world, and they just you could feel that energy from everybody else in the room. It's a wonderful feeling.
I want you to think about this because we're going to take a break in a second here and sort of regroup for the first hour. Donald Trump tonight is going to be making a speech at some point. We'll try to carry that live here on WTMJ. What do you think he's going to say?
Well, I think he's going to run through his list of grievances as normal. I think he's going to still not be a gracious winner. It's not something that he's normally capable of being. I think he's going to break out every single nickname that he's got for his opponents.
You think he'll still go down that road, even though, and again, he hasn't won yet, but if victory is assured, you think he'll still go down that road?
I would refer you to his inauguration speech in 2017. That should have been an occasion of celebration, and instead you got a much different speech than normal presidential inauguration speeches. I have no reason to believe that Donald Trump is a changed man. If anything, as he's gotten older, he's gotten crankier, and it's going to be a rambling mess, but it'll be fun for the Republicans.
If he wins, if he goes on to win, and it's looking pretty likely that that's going to happen, the only thing it does guarantee, 4 more years would be the end of his political career.
Well, you say that, Steve.
Oh, that's another thing we should probably talk about at some point. I'm fairly confident it would be the end of his political career, but that's a lot of speculation looking ahead for the next 4 years. Keep the text coming. I'll try to hit on some of those. Lots more to get to. We're here till 5 when Vince and Eric take over. We'll try to get to all the folks who are sort of covering the stories, the angles that all of you are expecting from 620 WTMJ. We're watching all of our monitors in studio here. We got all of them on. It's not looking good for Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States, in many of the swing states. And as James said, and as Julia said, when you can't win Minnesota with a vice presidential candidate with the name Tim Walz, you've got some trouble. We'll take a quick break here. Listen, of course, to Decision Wisconsin on 620 WTMJ. You're listening to Decision Wisconsin. I'm Steve Scafidi from the Political Power Hour on 620 WTMJ. James Wiggerson, conservative writer. He's often my guest on Tuesday's edition of the program. Joseph Pecky will be here next hour. He's getting some dinner. He's been at covering some of the activities tonight. Obviously, if it stays the way it is right now, Joseph Pecky will be a very disappointed strategist from the Democratic side, because he was very confident about this race, James. And when, look, I understand the role of strategists, and they have to sort of play up their own the candidates. But Bill McCaution, at this point, my Republican strategist, he didn't miss on much. He was pretty much right. Now, again, they're paid to say that.
Yeah, well, of course they are. But Bill certainly has reason to be happy tonight with the way things have turned out so far. The interesting thing will be is whether or not Hovde pulls it out. That race is a little bit narrower at this point.
Let's get an update on that race, as long as you're asking about that. Let's see. Live updates on the Hovde race. Here we go. Eric Hovde with 84% has a lead of 68,000 votes. So at this moment, he has 50.1% and Tammy Baldwin is 47.7%. I actually predicted that. I thought he had a pretty good chance of winning this race. And I attribute it to this, James. Maybe you can just comment on this. I think there's a fatigue with candidates after a couple cycles. And Tammy Baldwin has been a U.S. Senator for 2 terms, running for a 3rd term. Obviously, Hovde's benefiting from the whatever this Trump wave is, and we can certainly elaborate on that later. But I'm not shocked by that, because the thing that does shock me is we have 2 conservative senators in Wisconsin now. That's sort of a unique thing.
Yeah, I do believe that there is a fatigue factor that steps in. I know that they were talking about term limits earlier this evening.
Yeah,
there is a certain amount of natural term limits where people get tired of looking at the same faces over and over again, not so much at the local level or at the state level, at the state legislature level, obviously, but where the races are a little different. But when you start talking about statewide races, think about Tommy Thompson managed to win 3 terms, but that was an exception.
That is an exception.
I mean, it was an amazing political run there. When you think about Scott Walker, on the other hand, there was definite Scott Walker fatigue by the end, and he narrowly lost because, to a certain extent, people were tired of the constant campaigning by Scott Walker. He won 3 elections in 2 terms and was running for president, and after a while, it's enough was enough. And I do think that candidates wear themselves out.
I trotted this idea out last week on the program. I think some people are attracted to Eric Hovde because he's almost a self-made man, right? He obviously came from a good family, but he created this banking empire out in California and beyond. And I think some people, especially Trump supporters, who are probably a lot of his voters, said, that's something I aspire to, something they can make something of themselves, can be a leader. I thought his ads hit pretty hard on Tammy Baldwin, but I think they were effective.
Yeah, I definitely think that they were effective. I think Hovde is a very serious person. I think I told you that at the very beginning of his race, and he is somebody to be reckoned with. He certainly invested the resources. Baldwin has always been able to take advantage of her opponents running out of resources at the wrong times and been able to flood the airwaves at that moment and define her opponents. She even did that against former Governor Tommy Thompson, you'll recall, in her first run for U.S. Senate. She was never able to do that with Hovde. Hovde was always able to match her dollar for dollar, and that's why the race is where it is right now.
Senior Senator Ron Johnson, we both have talked about him extensively, you in the way that you do in your columns and your newsletters and your appearances on my show. I've certainly been a critic. I'm not a fan of the Ron Johnson conspiracy theorist, which I think he's sort of devolved into. I was a fan of Ron Johnson, who pointed out that we have an exploding deficit early on. 15 years ago, that's what he was talking about. I was at a lot of those seminars. I said, that's the messaging we need as a conservative. That stuff matters. But he's sort of gotten away from that. What kind of senator do you think Eric Hovde will be? Will be sort of someone who clings on to a Ron Johnson, or is he his own man?
Oh, I don't think he'll be a clinger on to Ron Johnson. I think he'll be his own person. What he will be defined by Eric Hovde himself. His campaign was run by Eric Hovde, and he is a self-made candidate. Just like you said, he's a self-made person in business as well. I don't see Eric Hovde just going along to get along with Ron Johnson, and I think that there may be times when the two of them definitely have a difference of opinion.
And maybe that's good for Ron Johnson, that a fellow Republican, again, he has to still win the race. There's only 84% of the votes counted, and there's still a lot of votes in Milwaukee, apparently, which we'll talk about in the next hour. Joe Zepecki is going to join us, Democratic strategist. You know Joe very well from my Friday shows. And we shouldn't discount Milwaukee because it's obviously our biggest city, and we've seen surprises before, James.
Yeah, Milwaukee could still bail out Tammy Baldwin, and we could still be talking about Senator Baldwin for another 6 years, but this is definitely our biggest challenge that she's had in her political career.
And as I've said all night so far, if you have a comment or a question, the text line is wide open, 855-616-1620. We'll spend some time. I'm going to be here for four more hours. We're going to spend some time sort of responding to that. At some point later on in the evening, we may take some calls as well. So I want to kind of open it up because I don't get to do that on my regular show, and I wanted to give people an opportunity. Once we have a better idea of what the final numbers, and we may not have that tonight, but we'll have a pretty good indication, especially with the swing states starting to get closer and closer to some resolution. Those are sort of the outliers along with the state of Minnesota. So we're going to talk to Joe Zepecki coming up. We may even hear from Bill McCosian, who might join on the phone. And I imagine Bill's probably in a pretty good mood at this moment. Before we go to break, though, they called it a snafu, this issue with the tabulating machines at Central Count in Milwaukee. I said before with John McCure, this can't happen in this race at this time. And yet here we are talking about that.
Well, that was certainly the big fear when we had the changeover in an election administration in Milwaukee County. I say as somebody who comes from Waukesha County that a few years ago had our own problems in elections after election, it certainly becomes a national embarrassment, and people will be talking about this. If for some reason Donald Trump loses Wisconsin at this point, there's going to be a lot of finger pointing at Milwaukee. There's going to be a lot of conspiracy theories. Ron Johnson was already down there. I mean, it is not a good sign for Milwaukee, not a good image for clean elections in this state.
And the story is still being written because, you know, at some point there's going to be this count, and, you know, we're told 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and in this case it works out for me because I'm here till 5. But it's maddening that after we've gone through everything we've gone through in 2020, and we'll probably spend some time tonight talking about that because, frankly, I don't want to relive all that. And maybe with the Trump victory, if that happens, we won't have to because I don't think there'll be the anger and the angst when you just knocked out Kamala Harris, Vice President of the United States, to win your second term. I think it's the first time a president has two non-consecutive terms, correct?
Second time. First time would have been Chester Arthur.
Yes, but that's a ways ago.
You know, it was over a century ago, yes.
He is James Wigerson, conservative writer. I always want to tease this because you do some great writing. It's not just about politics, too. It's fascinating work. How can they find your great writing?
They can find it at jameswigerson.com. There's a little button at that website that also allows you to become a member and subscribe to my newsletter that comes out every Monday and Thursday. And sometimes special editions as well.
Yeah, he's always got some interesting... The non-politics stuff, sometimes, to be brutally honest, is more fun for me to read because I talk about politics all the time. James Wigerson, Joseph Pecky, we've got to talk to all of our great teammates who are out and about at all the events, some fun, not so fun. The news is next on 620 WTMJ.